Will you listen for a reading from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verses 12 through 17? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. The word of the Lord. L-O-V-E, love. When you hear the word love, you might fall somewhere between two categories. There is the hopeless romantic. You hear the word love and you swoon. You hear the word love, you think of love, you get these butterflies in your stomach, anxious, anxiety, yet excitement. You are delighted that Harry met Sally. Or maybe you fall into the other category. Yes, L-O-V-E, love. You know it's not about the mushy feelings. You know it's not about the heartfelt stuff. It's simply about making a choice. It's about making a commitment. It's none of this, oh, I feel this way, I feel that way. No, it's just an intentional choice. Well, whether you're a full-fledged believer or skeptic, the sun is setting on February, the notorious month of L-O-V-E, love. And we're all probably a bit tired of hearing and seeing the jewelry commercials, the marketed chocolates, and the floral branding, and eagerly look ahead to the dawn of a new day, March. Or maybe you're a little like me, I'll have to confess, a bit numb to sermons on love. Your mind goes on autopilot when you hear talks about love and unity. You've heard it so much now that you know it forward and backward. You can fill in the blank. Yes, yes, God is love and we should love. Good point. Heard it before. Can we skip ahead, moving right along? Doesn't everyone know this stuff already? Let's just move on. Well, the odds are against us in this text this morning. The odds are against me in this sermon today, I know. I know, because whether we're wrapped up in the larger everyday narrative of what love is, or whether we're wrapped up in our larger Christian narrative of what love is or isn't, we're kind of over love. Love has come to mean so much and at the same time mean absolutely nothing. The string of letters L-O-V-E are so loaded that they are completely empty. Love no longer draws us in to ask questions. It no longer draws us in to linger just a little while longer, to peer over and see what is here in this thing called love, because we already know it. We see the word and we read ahead for the next thing. We hear the word and we listen quickly for what is coming next. I can fill in the blanks, moving on. Well, this morning, Jesus offers his disciples a simple commandment: love one another as I have loved you. And you do know that this isn't the first time they've heard this commandment. love one another. This group has heard it all before. I can see them eagerly listening ahead, waiting for Jesus to get to the next thing, filling in the blanks, not intending to slow down, skipping ahead until they hear Jesus say, "Lay down one's life." You have to slow down at the utterance of such a phrase. You have to slow down and linger a little bit longer. I know we don't slow down any longer, but we must slow down when speaking about death and love. We have to pause a little. The association of death, love, and relationship screams, "Proceed with caution." Please do not fill in the blanks. Please do not skip ahead, for we may fill them in too soon. We may fill them in too hasty and misplaced assumptions. So Jesus begins describing a particular way of living and being with one another. And the way that the disciples are to be with one another in this model is to model and mimic the way that Jesus exists with them. Jesus has been in communion with the disciples. The disciples have found themselves at home, cozy, in a cozy place in the presence of Jesus, abiding with Jesus. And as Jesus is facing death, he begins telling the disciples how to remain at home in this cozy place, abiding with Jesus, abiding in communion with him. The disciples will continue to be those who are loved, friends of Jesus, if they love one another. They will continue to be friends of Jesus if they love one another as Jesus has loved them. The love of Jesus is outwardly focused. It is one directional. Jesus' love takes the form of actions for the benefit and well-being of others, for the benefit and well-being of the disciples. The choices of God made evident through the life of Jesus, the actions that led to death, burial, and resurrection, are of no benefit to God. They are solely for the benefit of the disciples. This way of life requires that you turn to the other person in good measure with nothing to gain. Turn to the other person with nothing to gain, but potentially everything to lose. Laying down one's life for one's friends. This is risky business. This, quite honestly, the language in itself, I don't particularly care for. It's kind of like Quinn said in the children's sermon, "What about people who aren't nice to us? What do we do about those people?" Honestly, I don't know if I care for the language because it sounds a little too much like sacrifice. Because it sounds a whole lot like the lines that have led to the tragedies of living in this world, where bodies and lives are sacrificed at the expense of others. Yeah, I read it, and I'm very inclined to skip ahead, fill in the blanks, and keep moving. And it's even messier because if friends means one who is loved, I am the one who makes the choice to call someone friend, who makes the choice to love. It's not about their actions towards me. It's about my actions toward them. But I'm going to do my best to not fill in the blanks and keep tracking with Jesus. This commandment from Jesus tells us that we may have to see those who do not count us as friends as those who are loved. We may have to see those who do not count us as loved as friends. Ironically, in order to experience the completeness of abiding in Jesus, to see the birth of new life and bear fruit that will last, the followers of Jesus have to move beyond ideas of reciprocity. The disciples have to understand that this is not a quid pro quo game. What have you done for me lately? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You mess me over, I'll mess you over. No, no, no. In these five tiny verses of Scripture, Jesus gives us a risky paradigm indeed. But this is why I like Jesus, because he builds in a safety mechanism. Right here in these five tiny verses of Scripture, Jesus builds in a safety mechanism. Can't fill in the blanks too soon, because Jesus says, I give you these commandments so that you may love one another, so that you may care for, look out for, find connectedness with one another. It's in verse 17. Seems kind of circular, does it not? Love one another as I have loved you, so that you will find communion, a place at home, a cozy spot with one another. Even this commandment, the charge to be connected and to belong together in a particular way with one another, is for the benefit of the disciples. It's not to the benefit of Jesus. Jesus is still thinking of the well-being of the disciples when he says, love one another. This particular way of living with one another brings about completeness, a wholeness, and fullness in the lives of the people of God, all those who have been created by God. Indeed, this is all risky on the personal level when we pick out individuals, but when it's carried into the vision of Jesus, the entire community is making sure that every person is taken care of. Together, we are moving outward. Together, one another. We're moving toward one another as opposed to staking claims for self-preservation. Self-preservation would have led to the sacrificial death of a few. No, no. Together, as you turn outward and I turn outward, the idea is that when we've gotten it right, somehow someone else is turning towards each of us. Community. If we listen to the words of Jesus, we see the vision that if we, the entire body, together move beyond reciprocity, we move into mutual belonging. We move into completeness. We live into wholeness, into bearing fruit that will not die, but fruit that will indeed last. Fruit that has no end. But someone has to start. Someone has to reach out first. Someone had to sit at lunch counters and be willing to be spit on. Someone had to be willing to march on Washington. Someone had to be willing to brave the streets of Selma, Alabama. And yes, some people had to be willing to go to North Pittsburgh. It's on us to be the start and to move into the vision of God that has been made known. It is on us. Jesus says, you keep the commandment. Jesus tells the disciples, I have made everything known to you. It's not a secret anymore. I turned toward you. I gave you glimmers of God, glimmers of everything that is all holy, all that is good, and all that is true. I made it known to you. The awareness has been given to you. You have had an encounter with God that you cannot deny. You have knowledge that you cannot deny. It is up to you to now live into what I revealed to you. It is up to you to acknowledge that you have heard, seen, and experienced something more. It is up to you to bear witness to the fact that I have chosen to love you. I have chosen to call you friend. You bear witness to the vision and you bear witness to our relationship as you follow this risky paradigm. This risky paradigm of loving one another. Yes, even those who are not nice. Once you know something, once you come into an awareness, you cannot undo it. I know in the age of Control Z, undo, backspace, and delete, we think that we can erase some things, but once you really come into an understanding, you can't pretend as if you don't know anymore. See, once we have a conversation, we can't undo the conversation. We can only move forward in what has happened. A mark has been made. An imprint is there. But you do have a choice. You can live in it, and you can act in ways that bear witness to what you now know, or you can live in ways that deny every ounce of all that is God, or all that is holy, and all that is good, and all that is true. Sometimes, indeed, it's easier to deny being a friend of Jesus. Sometimes it's easier to be considered a servant, to be considered the servant, those who do not know, those who are out of the know. It is easier to be a servant as if we do not know than it is to be a friend who proclaims, I know and I have seen. Because there is risk involved in proclaiming, I know and I have seen. There is risk involved because Jesus has given us the ideal paradigm, yet we have yet to see the manifestation of this working model here on this earth. So if we live into this commandment, we take on the risk that others do not turn toward us. We take on the risk that others do not reach out and extend the same love, the same actions toward us. We take the risk. But Jesus does not give this as a suggestion. Jesus gives this as a charge. It is a commandment. But before our passage ends, Jesus offers hope in good Jesus fashion. Jesus offers hope. Jesus says, I choose you. I appointed you. Ask in my name. I choose you. I appoint you. Ask in my name. Jesus does the bidding. Jesus does the calling. And Jesus is the resource for this risky stuff. Jesus endorses the call. Jesus is speaking to all the disciples. This is the added bonus. I choose you. I appoint you. It's not just you. It's all of us. It's you, plural. Jesus is appointing and choosing many others. You do not go it alone. We do not go this alone. Love one another. We often try to make this faith thing difficult and complex. We can come up with some serious gatekeeping, hurdles and hoops to determine who is in, who's out, who's in bounds, who's out of bounds, who's living with God and who's not. And Jesus has made it simple and plain. Love one another and you bear witness to your relationship with me. Yeah, we make this faith thing difficult and complex while we oversimplify that love thing. As if it is simple and not complex, as if it is feeling rather than a conviction followed in action. And here our Lord says, not so. It ain't easy. Love as I love, Love without contingency. Love in a way that says you have come into a knowledge, come into an understanding that you cannot undo, that you just can't shake, even if you try. Love is not an empty word at all. L-O-V-E, love. For to love as God loves moves beyond reciprocity and into a vision we have yet to fully see. Love one another as I have loved you. Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Loving God, we come to you knowing that your love is vast, far-reaching, deep and wide, that your love calls to us, calls us into being, calls us to serve, calls us to be yours, your children, this community of faith. We pray that we and your whole creation might be transformed by your radical love, that where there is brokenness, there will be wholeness. Where there is injury, there will be healing. Where there is need, there will be provision. That where there is despair, there will be hope. That where there is grief, there will be comfort. And where there is violence, there will be peace. Loving God, you came in Christ to show us your love and to call us to love. And so we pray that you will strengthen each one of us to your service. We pray for your blessing to be upon Jeff and Carol and the ministry team from Beulah, that they will go forth in your power and your spirit and your love to be your hands and feet and heart where there is brokenness in our community. We pray that you will open our own ears and our own eyes and our minds and our hearts, that we as individuals and as a community, that we as part of your church universal, might be strengthened to love in difficult ways, in challenging ways, in ways that move us beyond the boundaries that are a part of our lives and our world. Because you have loved us, help us to know your love. Help us to trust in your love, and help us to find hope in your love where we struggle and despair. In love, you know our needs. You know the prayers on our hearts before we even utter a word. And so hear the prayers on our hearts in this time of silence for those that we love and for those we may never meet. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for being who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for hearing our prayers that we lift to you in the name of the one you sent, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.